It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus.
We're taking
Let's
the
see
elevator.
What's happening in the world today.
Ice casting on and on radio.net. Port 7070.
Anon Radio.
Ice casting on and on radio.net. Port 7070.
Anon Radio.
Hello, this is the Gordon Magog. From the S to the D to the F, I am the original.
In my arms, words are very unnecessary. They can only do
Hello, hello. It's 1903 UTC out here on the roof in beautiful Austin, Texas. We're partly cloudy. We've got remnants of, there's a hurricane that blew into Texas and it brought a little bit of rain here, 0.11 inches of rain. I'm not sure how many centimeters that is. Let's ask Siri. Hey Siri, how many centimeters is 0.1 inches?
Is 0.25 centimeters.
All right. 0.25 centimeters. So a quarter of a centimeter of rain fell. That was a big rainstorm here in Austin, I'll tell you what. But yeah, there's a lot of clouds. We're making our way to the shady spot. Ooh, it's warm. Yep, it's presently 36 degrees. It'll be 38, the high is 38. For the day, so better than it has been. A lot of green, all the green stuff is perked up. Speaking of perking up, you can perk up by joining COM at COM, Commode Chat. That's how we talk on and on radio. All I need to do is SSH over to sdf.org, and or you can go to tty.sdf.org. I recently found out if you're Meta or ARPA or ARPA, you can also visit Meta.dot and ARPA.dot and get into hosts that way. But anyway, once you get connected, let's see, it's taken it a second for me to get connected here. So fingers crossed, it'll let me dial in. All right, we're in. Okay, let's launch COM. Aw, yeah, now we're in touch, hanging out with cool people like LCD and Quentin, and X1, UserFXNet, the Z-Man Zerhoff, LCD, like I said, Quentin Zerhoff. Yeah, F-Fog's in the house. Welcome, welcome, one and all. Looks like there's a desire to talk about death and destruction. That's usually what we talk about at the beginning of the show. It used to be world news, but really it almost always ended up being mostly about death and destruction. I think Claudio M or somebody,
I don't remember who said,
oh, it's like death and destruction news. Anyway, let's get moving. There's plenty of news for everyone here to use. So all we got to do is go over here. First, we're going to make sure we sync our, we get our syncing done. For that, we go over here to settings, and then we just choose sync now, so it can go ahead and sync up. That's one of those things they always forget to do, but I think on your mobile phone, it only syncs every couple hours or so. So anyway, go over there, go to our bookmarks. We go to our desktop bookmarks. Got to remember that because that's where the News to Me folder is, and we can jump into August 23rd. If I haven't mentioned it yet, it is August 23rd. It is Wednesday, August 23rd. That's right, it's 23/08/23 or 8/23/23, depending on how you want to write the day date out. If you want to be proper, like I did, I had went to the dentist earlier today, and I signed it, and I dated it 2023-08-23. And the dentist and their assistant, the dental hygienist, were not particularly amused that I did not use the date format they expected. All right. So we begin with what is probably the biggest news in anywhere. poor Quentin. Hey, and DMA, the Mad Hatter is in the house. Welcome, welcome. So let's go on here. Let's jump into it. This is news everywhere. Like, this is the top of the news all over the place. The Wagner chief, Prigozhin, is presumed dead after a Russian plane crash. Mysteriously, the traitor of Russia has died in a plane crash. Wagner boss Yevgeny Prigozhin was on the passenger list of a jet which crashed, killing all on board, Russia's civil aviation authority has said. Earlier, Wagner-linked telegram channel Gray Zone reported the Embraer aircraft was shot down by air defenses in the region north of Moscow. The private jet was flying from Moscow to St. Petersburg, carrying 7 passengers and 3 crew. Prigozhin had led a failed mutiny against the Russian armed forces in June. Gray Zone said local residents heard 2 bangs before the crash and saw 2 vapor trails. TASS news agency said the plane, an Embraer Legacy belonging to Prigozhin, caught fire on hitting the ground. The aircraft had been in the air for less than half an hour. An investigation has been launched to the crash, and emergency services are searching the site. Another news agency, RIA, it's RIA, said 8 bodies had been recovered. If you remember, there were 7 passengers and 3 crew, so 8 bodies being recovered means you got 2 left wandering around somewhere. Gray Zone reports that a second business jet owned by Prigozhin landed safely in the Moscow region. Curiouser and curiouser. But 2 of my jets leave at the same time. One crashes and 8 people are dead. The other one, with a crew of 0 and a passenger list of 0, lands with 2 people. Very suspicious. The 62-year-old mercenary boss founded Wagner in 2014, and it now has 25,000 fighters. It's active in Syria, Ukraine, and West Africa, and has gained a reputation for its brutality. Let's see if we got anything. None of this, of course, given the circumstances, any claims that his demise, if confirmed, was an accident, we'll see a lot of eyebrows raised. U.S. White House spokeswoman Adrienne Watson said no one should be surprised if the results of Prigozhin's death are confirmed. So, that's all over the place. Quentin points out, when in Russia, leave as fast as you can. And X1's pointing out, you know nothing about dates. Those must be written in French. I hope that that's forgiveness. Forgiveness, please. let's see. Oh, and Jalen Moth's in the house. Hello, welcome, welcome. Which reminds me, you can also jump in on Jabber chat, XMPP chat. All you gotta do is go to anonradio@conference.jabber.sdf.org, and that will get you to the Anon Radio Room, where you can hang out and chat with other SDFers who have XMPP set up. So anyway, just a little heads up there. So what else is happening? Well, there's a lot of death, of course. There's always death. But here in the United States, we like to call them active shooters. They're not murderers, and but they're usually active shooters because we want people to be excited and interested in knowing what happened. He was very active in his shooting. Hundreds of rounds fired in Garfield neighborhood. Garfield is a cat famous for loving lasagna. And all over the United States, neighborhoods and cities and everything have been named after this cat. I don't know a whole lot else. Garfield, he has one of the other characters is Nermal and Odie the dog. There's also a John, the owner, is a person. He's kind of a sad person. Just down the road from me, the next block over is Odie. And then after that is Nermal, and there is a Garfield about three blocks away. So anyway, what's going on? An active shooter fired hundreds of rounds in the Garfield neighborhood of Pittsburgh on Wednesday morning as police tell locals to steer clear of the area, and shots are still being fired hours later. A spokesman for the Allegheny Sheriff's County Sheriff's Office told CNN that there is only one suspect who has barricaded himself inside a residence. Although the individual has not been publicly identified, FBI Pittsburgh confirmed it was assisting Pittsburgh police. They're starting to evacuate people from the houses in the 4800 block of Broad Street, writing on X. Of course, this is proof and a very important thing. Private, for-profit social media is not a public forum and is not a way to publicly announce anything. If you're a police department or available or a member of any government, You should never ever use social media as your sole outlet for information. But anyway, because they're police and they're intentionally below average intelligence usually, police went to Twitter and said, if you're inside, please shelter in place, dial 911, and identify your address and location. Officials previously warned the public to avoid the 4800 block of Broad Street and North Matilda Street due to an active shooting situation. 20 minutes later, police urged again. Oh, I love it. Oh, it's so wild. This is just such, I mean, this is an extremely active situation with shots continuing to be fired. Please avoid the area. Hundreds of rounds still going off, a reporter from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette said. Again, on Twitter, where you have to have an account and you have to agree to a private terms of service to know any of this. Allegheny County Sheriff's Office spokesman told The Independent that our office went to the address to serve an eviction notice, and that's when the actor turned violent and began shooting, adding that the scene is still active. He added one of our sergeants, who was leading the detail, sustained a minor non-gunfire-related injury while avoiding the incoming gunfire. He's okay. He, you know, stepped on a rake or something. Tripped and fell, hurt his wrist. According to CBS News, an attorney said the home involved was bought at a sheriff's sale, and deputies were going to remove a man, who is, quote, basically squatting, knowing it could turn violent. So a sheriff's sale, if you don't know, when you don't pay your taxes on a home you own, the state can seize the property, sell it at auction to collect the taxes that are owed. That money they then take and put in their little pockets. But the person who lives there doesn't want to leave. They didn't want to sell the house. They just didn't want to pay their taxes either. So anyway, the police came to remove him so the state could sell his house. But anyway, he started shooting. Pittsburgh police are responding to a shooting incident about a half a mile from the Children's Hospital. Oh, he lived near the Children's Hospital. No wonder he had high rent, high taxes. Anyway, the White House said that the president has been briefed of the active shooter situation in Pittsburgh. We still don't have any information. We don't know how many people have been hurt, but it sounds like this is a guy that went and holed himself up in his house and has just been shooting outside of his house like a madman. But hey, we'll find out. I'll let you know tomorrow. Let's talk about people in large quantities who are missing and maybe presumed dead. In the Maui fires, more than 1,000 people are still unaccounted for after a wildfire ripped through the island town of Lahaina 2 weeks ago. Authorities are now expected to make public a list of the missing in the coming days to try and narrow the search.
Some search teams combing through the rubble are finding only bones or fragments of bodies, which make the task difficult. The official death toll stands at 115. So if you look at that, that's a whole factor, a whole tenfold more people are missing. The blaze has destroyed most of the historic town on August 8th, and the fires are now considered the worst natural disaster in Hawaii state history. Of course, that's after it became a state. Prior to that, it was when the United States came and conquered the indigenous peoples there so that the Dole Corporation could sell pineapples. The blaze destroyed most of the town. Roughly 1,400 of the 2,500 people who were initially reported unaccounted for have been found. The exact number of the missing has been difficult. Every day the numbers change. The number was thought to be around 850, but now they're saying it's about 1,000 plus. Authorities have been asking family members to provide DNA to help identify victims. At least 104 DNA reference samples have been collected so far in an effort to construct family trees or pedigrees. Officials have identified 13 people who died in the blaze. Among them are an avid musician, 11 grandmothers, and inspiring father. So anyway, let's check in on with Calm, see what's happening here. Scrolling. Top Wagner dude gets dead. What took so long? Okay, here we go. Always carry a Geiger counter. That's from LCD. Good importance. Zoerhoff isn't convinced that neighborhoods are named after cats. But we'll let M&W have this one. you know what? It's possible that the neighborhood's named after President Garfield, but that's neither here nor there. It is not a big orange cat who hates Mondays. I'm glad everybody's on board with the cat naming situation. An LCD, correct. Ratsu, can't pay taxes, buys too much ammo. Yeah, that's pretty much what seems like. It was probably cheaper to buy a whole bunch of ammo and think he could defeat the entire police force. in case of doubt, gun. So anyway, that's what's going on there. Let's keep it rolling, because there's other things where large numbers of people are missing or presumed dead. This number, 100,000. Around 100,000 people evacuated due to floods in Pakistan. That's right, it's happening again. Around 100,000 people have been evacuated from flooded villages in Pakistan's Punjab province, according to emergency services on Wednesday. Several hundred villages and thousands of acres of croplands in the central province were inundated when the Sutlej River burst its banks on Sunday. Mr. Mohsin Naqvi, the head of Punjab's government, said monsoon rains had prompted the authorities to release excess reservoir water into the river, causing flooding downstream on the Pakistani side of the border. The floodwaters came a couple days ago, and all our houses were submerged. We walked all the way here on foot with great difficulty, a guy in a refugee camp was quoted as saying. Let's see, the summer monsoon brings 70 to 80% of South Asia's annual rainfall between June and September every year. It's vital for the livelihoods of millions of farmers and food security in a region of around 2 billion people. But it brings landslides and floods that are frequent, that lead to frequent evacuations. So, just another big number there to be aware of, 100,000. Oh man, it's 1919 UTC, which makes me want to remind you, at 1930 UTC, so in 10 minutes and some change, is the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope, a fun show that airs every goddamn day right here on Anon Radio. So stick around for that. Let's jump over to Calm. We can also just type, you can also press the equal sign, and that will give you upcoming stuff. Today we've got at 2100, we've got Cinesphere's show, Sound of Synergy, and then also UserFX has a show at midnight tonight. It's UserFXNet and AE. Back to back, lit up on Linux, followed by Special Ed. So tune in at 2300 tonight, and then stick around at 00 hours on Thursday for a fun time. In the USA, that is in the evening time. Oh, look, a truck is backing up. I think it might be a garbage truck. Ah. I think it is. It is billowing smoke.
So I guess so. Alrighty. Boop, boop, boop. R.
Alright. Quentin tossing out a URL. sdf.org/l/169. That's sdf.org/lima/169, all lowercase. And that's a Google map of the 2023 Maui fire location.
Thanks.
All right. I've got a block of stories I'll run through pretty quick, but there are authority figures actually facing, or at least potentially facing, justice. In a world first, New Orleans priest accused of abusing minors admits wrongdoing. Lawrence Hecker, 91 years old, close to death, acknowledged he had committed overtly sexual acts laid out in a statement given to church leaders in 1999. For the first time ever, one of the New Orleans Catholic Church's most strongly suspected abusers has publicly admitted that he sexually abused or harassed several teenagers during his career as a priest. He's also described himself as remorseful, yet unsure if he's deserving of any criminal consequences. He gave the rare admission when reporters for The Guardian and local news outlet asked him to discuss a statement he gave to the church in 1999. In the statement, he acknowledged committing overtly sexual acts with at least three underage boys in the 60s and 70s and revealed his close relationship with four others stretching into the 80s. In the recent years, Hecker was given various interviews and repeatedly denied touching children inappropriately. The Guardian obtained a copy of the 24-year-old statement Hecker gave, which prompted the questions. Asked if he did the specific sexual acts he laid out in the statement, Hecker twice said yes, while being recorded on video. He also claimed that society was more permissive of such behavior at the time. Even though Louisiana's age of consent to have sex in the 60s and 70s was the same as it is now at 17. There we go. So a priest admitted to molesting people. In Philadelphia, a officer to be fired over a shooting death of a black man. This is a rarity. A lot of times cops are not fired when they kill an unarmed black man. Oftentimes they get promoted. But here in Philadelphia, a Philadelphia police officer who shot and killed a motorist during a traffic stop is expected to be fired after surveillance footage emerged contradicting his account of the incident. Oh, there was video. That's one of the best things that happened for society is police body cameras and access to surveillance footage around the area. The former officer, Mark Dial, if you want to look him up, give him a nice how do you do, initially claimed to have shot him after the guy lunged at him outside of the car. However, the officer changed his story after reviewing body camera footage, which is yet to be released publicly. I thought it was very funny. It was pointed out on Mastodon. Initially, it was he shot the guy after he lunged at him. Then he was like, he shot the guy when he walked up to the car. He had the window open and he lunged at him. And then he changed the story a second time. And the third headline said he walked up and the window was rolled down and then he shot through the window. And then finally, the fourth time, they said he got out of his... Somebody finally saw the footage and said the cop got out of his car and shot into the... victim's car within 5 seconds of him stopping the vehicle. So, anyway, if you are a policeman or you know someone who's a policeman, urge them to quit or perhaps otherwise stop being a police person in some way. Now, not just policemen are behaving badly. A third grade teacher in Oklahoma was arrested for being under the influence on the first day of school. On August 17th, Perkins Tarrant school officials reported to the school resource officer they thought that Kimberly Coates, 53, was possibly intoxicated at the intermediate school toward the end of the school day. Who doesn't drink at lunch? Come on, give her a break. I noticed Kimberly had red, watery eyes and thick, slurred speech. Kimberly had a hard time completing sentences, the school resource officer wrote in the police report. Police said they confirmed that Ms. Coates was indeed under the influence of alcohol. She admitted that she drank a lot last night, estimating she consumed half a box of wine the night before and stopped drinking around 3 a.m. According to the school's website, the school day begins at 8:25 a.m. So, I don't know if that's believable that she's still slurring her speech at 3:30 in the afternoon, unless you went somewhere at lunch. I don't know. Anyway, Oh, yeah, another police officer. Don't worry. This time he killed a child. Oh, no, he didn't kill the child. He just abused him. An officer in Mississippi was fired after taking a 10-year-old child into custody. Oh, we talked about this one. The boy was taken into custody earlier this month after peeing behind his mother's car. And we talked about this. The mom was doing it, was busy. And my sister said they don't have a bathroom here. And she said, well, you should have come and asked me if they had a bathroom. The officer told the boy he could get back in the car. Ms. Eason told the outlet, adding that the officer was just going to give a warning. But then several other police officers showed up. One said the child had to go to jail. So, yeah, that's just a little update there. We've got about 4 minutes to go, so I'm going to try and hurry it up to get you some of these really cool news stories. But, yeah, let's see. Oh, Feo, or F-E-O-H. Welcome, welcome. Alright, we're moving, we're rocking, we're bumping, we're shaking. India, this is huge news. India's mission to land a rover on the dark side, on the south pole of the moon, was successful this morning. Very exciting. Russia and Japan both crashed their multi-billion dollar crafts into the surface of the moon. But India, I think, did the first try. But the second time around, they did it just right, and they landed right where they expected to be. So that's very, very cool. Groundwater extraction has begun at Zaporizhia, but whatever, the nuclear power plant in Ukraine. If you remember, they blew up a dam that provided water to the nuclear power plant. So they drilled some wells, and they're using groundwater to cool the plant now. And space weather. Bow, 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 bow. Big space weather. M-class solar flare. Last night's M1.1 hyphen class solar flare was a dud. Although the explosion lasted long enough to lift a coronal mass ejection out of the sun's atmosphere, it apparently did not. SOHO, Sierra Oscar Hotel Oscar coronagraph images show no sign of a significant coronal mass ejection. A new paper in the research journal Icarus offers dramatic proof that solar activity can affect planetary weather. The big surprise, that planet is Neptune, 2.5 billion miles from the sun. Images taken by the Hubble Space Telescope over the period of 28 years show bright clouds forming in sync with the 11-year solar cycle. So, very cool there. Sorry, I'm trying to rush through it because we're going to run out of time. It's going to be time for the dubious calls coming up soon. Get your clothes folded. Here's the last one for you because this is the last space story. A payload adapter that is the target of a European debris cleanup mission may have itself been damaged by a debris impact. That's right. The mission to clean up debris was hit by debris. The European Space Agency said August 22nd that it was informed 12 days earlier by U.S. Space Force's 18th Space Defense Squadron, responsible for space domain awareness activities, that it had identified several pieces of debris in the vicinity of a larger payload adapter called Vespa that had been in low Earth orbit since the Vega launch a decade ago. The new debris is likely originated from Vespa after a collision with a piece of debris too small to be tracked. Follow-up tracking by the 18th Space Defense Squadron, as well as European facilities, indicates the payload adapter remains intact. ESA did not state how many pieces of debris were being tracked. So, it's kind of funny. But please enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee. Props to India, and props to the whole world. Way to go. And props to Non-Radio. Bye-bye. Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.